give that hand to Jesus Christ. If clapping for Jesus, you can do it. If that hand is for Jesus, it should be loud and clear. Praise the Lord. I want to deeply appreciate God for this privilege to share God's word. I appreciate you, my father, my mother, and Bishop Abioye, who taught me stewardship. Amen. I don't take it lightly. Out of the things we have learned, what will I say that I've not learned from here? So whatever I want to say is only just to add little thing, because everything I want to say is from here to I learned it. Father, speak to us through your word, and let your word carry power, that whatever I will say will be filled with your spirit. We vow to give you every glory in Jesus' most wonderful name. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. The team is built to last. But the subtopic given to me is understanding the primary task of a pastor. When I mean a pastor, does not necessarily mean you're a pastor. No matter your title, the shepherd. Understanding the primary task of a pastor. The task you accomplish is superior to the titles you bear. Your pastoral title is not as powerful as your pastoral function. Understanding your function is what determines optimum performance. Unction flows when function is known and understood. When placement is known and understood, achievement becomes easy. The question is, who is a pastor? A pastor is a shepherd called by God to nourish God's people with the word and engage them practically to enhance their maturity in the faith. So you must understand your role as a pastor. Understanding is the ability to interpret life as God sees it. So I take on the primary task of a pastor. Number one, primary task is feeding the flock. Feeding the flock is your number one assignment as a shepherd. From 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 to 4, God's word declared, the elders which are among you are exalted, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, but of ready mind. Neither has been lost over God's heritage, but been examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that faded not away. May that be our testimony. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20 and verse 28, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. Why feeding the flock is very important is because no human standard can match the word of God. God's word is the catalyst for change. So if you don't feed them, there will be no change in that church. It is God's word you feed them with. They can use to conquer the deceptions of Satan and enhance their maturity. In Acts 20 and verse 32, it says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Nothing multiplies a church like imparting the flock with knowledge and understanding. In Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15, he said, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So our primary duty is to feed the flock with knowledge and understanding. When you as a pastor lack understanding of God's word, there will be nothing to transfer to the flock under you. So your passion for the word is your greatest asset for success and church growth. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, not God's mouth. If you look at Joshua 1:8, everything about Joshua 1:8 is your responsibility, not God. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Thou shalt meditate, not God. Thou mayest observe, you. According to all that is written in it, you. Then you shall have your way, prosperous and success. So your success and prosperity is not determined by God. It's determined by you and I. And I pray someone this morning, hearing this message, will have a change in the name of Jesus. It's the word that turns a small church into a mega church. When you get into the word will get into you. It is a light you have that can illuminate their own lives. It says, in thy light shall we see light. In your own light, Psalm 36 verse 9, the B part. So it is in your own light they will encounter light. It is the word that is in you that will make them also have their own word. Now hear this and hear me well. You must know the state of your flocks, our father said just now, to attend to them accordingly. In Proverbs 27 verse 23, it says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy hairs. So you must know their state. You must know how the church is growing. Now I'll give a practical example. If you're in Ukraine today now, you're preaching something other than protection, nobody will listen to you. Because they will say, in this wartime, what are you preaching? So you must know their state. You must preach on deliverance and believe that God is able to protect them. I'm just giving an instance. So you must know their state. During the COVID-19, I'll give a practical example. Something happened. People were closing churches. And I knew something. And I said, God, what do you have us to do? In 1 month, we had 56,000 souls who did foundation class online and registered church grew. In 1 month, we had 56,000. God said to me, he said, now teach the foundation class online. And everywhere we had foundation class and people. Everything was that way. So you must know the state because they were not coming to church. So there must be something you need to do part time to make the church move from where it is to where it ought to be. And I pray someone will have a personal revelation of what God has for you in the name of Jesus. The same word of God, but application has to differ. You must know what to do to feed your own flock part time. Now, I'll give a practical example to get to what I'm trying to say. To feed the flock, you must know. Now, in Nigeria, for those of you outside the country watching online, in Nigeria, the western part of Nigeria, they eat a food they call amala. Amala is a swallow. If you bring it to the east, nobody will eat it. They eat garri in the eastern part of Nigeria. The same swallow, but different application. That's if you say credit card in Nigeria, everybody will look at you and say, what, do they owe credit? You say ATM before they will understand. It is the same word, but the application has to differ. So the environment you are determines how you apply the word. So don't just take something from somewhere and apply it the same way, it will never work. So you must know the state of your flock and know how to feed them. But to feed the flock, you, the pastor, must be a reader. Because if you are not a reader, there's nothing you have to feed them with. Now, number two, primary task of a pastor is continuous prayer. I use the word continuous because if you just pray prayer, I think there should be leaves after a while. You heard a father said they pray Monday to Saturday. So, if you don't want to be a prayer, you have to pray. Prayer is a spoken conversation with God based on His word.
It is getting God involved. Prayer is a terrestrial license for celestial interference. It is spiritual exercise enhances our relationship with God. Prayer is the seed for change. Any minister who do not pray is not ready for church growth. A prayerless minister is heading for extinction in ministry. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, never played down on prayer. If the head and the builder of the church was serious with prayer, then you have no excuse. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, the Amplified Classic says, the VIPA, the earnest, heartfelt, continual, that's what I say continuous, that's what prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in his working. No church can grow without prayers and occasional fasting. Prayer and fasting are the weapons we use to dislodge the gates of hell for the advancement of the church. It's an I say unto you, that thou, Peter, and upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not want prevail. So the gates of hell will be interested in the church. And no other thing will you use to clear the devil except with prayer. But he said, how be this can go not but by fasting and prayer. Matthew 17, verse 21. So you have to fast for things to go fast. Jesus' earthly ministry strived on the platform of prayer. He often separates himself for the purpose of prayer. And whenever he prayed, the Holy Spirit empowered him to do exploits. Someone is living here to do exploits in the name of Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, 35 and 37. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed the solitary place and there prayed. And in verse 37, and when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. The world will not look for you if you are not prayerful. A prayerful minister will always command attention. Prayer is a strong spiritual force that propels all men to where you are. It stirs up revival in you and the church you are pastoring. It is prayer that makes you a flame of fire for the devil to stay clear. Let me say this to you. The devil is not afraid of your English. If I tell you to be shocked, he's not afraid of your power. He killed James when he was operating in power. He was heading for Peter. The only thing Satan fears is prayers. James was in power when he killed him. And he was heading to kill Peter. It was prayer that rescued him. When you are prayerful, evil is far from you. Check every time prayers are hot, dangers are averted. It is the force we use to avert evil. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 36, it says, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. So to escape everything called evil, you'd have to be on fire in prayer. For he maketh his angels priests and his ministers a flaming fire. A prayerless pastor, a prayerless church, will be a powerless pastor and a powerless church. And a prayerful pastor church will be a powerful pastor and church. Prayer is one major weapon for church growth. Anywhere you see church growing, prayer is consistent. Satan will always want to stand against church growth, but he will not succeed. He said, neither give place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. Satan must be cleared as we are talking in the name of Jesus. In Mark 3:27, it said, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind a strong man and then he will spoil his house. You can't take over any territory without clearing the strong man, Satan. I was privileged to be here 1995-96. And the church was to go for AGIP, African Gospel Invasion Program. And we stood one morning, our father came to the class and said, get up. We came for lectures Monday morning, and we prayed till evening. So some of my classmates asked, how is Papa praying with us like this? I said, you think living faith grew with Pandariam? He led the prayers with the pastors with us. You will only go for a short break, come back. Some could not stand it. That was the first time we saw prayer. We prayed Monday to Friday before the church joined. And by 1996, church joined. Anywhere you see explosive growth, find the story. You don't use phonetics to grow church. In fact, the more English you speak, the more Satan will be angry. Are you getting what I'm saying? Notice what the English is annoying him already. Say, praise God. We have just come here. So, what are you talking about? A prayerful church will be a growing church. Where prayer stops, that's where growth will stop. The only thing Satan fears is a word-based prayer. So it is your level of prayer that will determine the level of growth. Prayer is the life wire of every growing church. A prayerless minister will produce a prayerless congregation. And a prayerless congregation will soon go into oblivion. Even Jesus referred to the church as a house of prayer. In Mark 11:17, he said, and he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? So it is only the violent in prayer that can express unhindered and lasting church growth from the days of John the Baptist until now. Till now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violent, and only the violent take it by force. The more we pray, the more the growth. The less we pray, the less the growth and impact. Fervent, continual prayer is a compulsory course in the school of church growth. Let me say this to you. The devil is not afraid of a holy and gentle pastor who is not prayerful. He's afraid of a holy, word-filled and prayerful pastor. The early church was born during the time of earnest, heartfelt prayer. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, "'Tis all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren." When the apostles were prayerful, they were known. But when they began, if you read Acts of the Apostles, you find out that every time the church was attacked, there was no prayers. The church went off when prayer began to die. What breathing is to human is what prayers is to church growth. Church growth stops where prayer stops. So to operate in the realm of church growth, you must be addicted to prayer. And let me say this to you. You must find out your own formula for the environment. I'll tell you a life story. I learned by observation. 95, not 100% of my learning here is by observation and teaching. Don't come to a program like this and your eyes are closed. I observe more than I'm taught physically. Yesterday, I'll give a practical example. Yesterday, I was asked to take the second prayers. When David came, I saw that when he prayed first one, he kept the microphone aside and was praying with his mouth. Mommy came, prayed the same thing. Now, tell me to pray next time, I will do the same thing. And you know why? I noticed that when it comes to prayers, if you're holding the microphone, you disturb other people's prayer. I'm sure our father must have told them, allow that people to pray. You don't use your own to disturb them. Because I saw him. I didn't know that before. I saw him. So next time, I don't need someone to teach me. If you tell me pray, I'll just do the same thing. So don't come for church growth thinking there's only a note you will take. What is making them to grow here? Find out and observe. Because not everything they teach you. Praise the Lord. So, I know you wanted to hear what I wanted to say. So they prayed 6 a.m. And I saw that church blew. So I entered the 6 a.m. pattern too. But it didn't work like that. So I said, God, there must be what you want me to do. The same prayer, but how do I apply it? He said, I shift your own to break time. So we pray every day at break time, and the crowd is unprecedented. The same principle, application differ. So don't just copy something without asking the Holy Spirit. Because if you sell Amala in the East, it won't sell. The environment we are is so volatile because of kidnapping. So the afternoon was more result-oriented. So you also look at it. The principle is the same, but the applications differ. We must pray. That does not, the afternoon prayer does not change the pastor's prayer. Because even if the church pray, you must pray. So we pray our own, which I won't tell you now. Number three. Praise the Lord. Number three is soul winning / preservation. The primary duty of a pastor, one major sequel for a church as a pastor is soul winning. Is soul winning. You must have passion for souls if you want to experience growth. Passion for souls is what drives one tirelessly for accomplishment. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." John 2:17, "And his disciples remember that it was written, the zeal of the house has eaten me up." Jesus, our perfect example, was passionately consumed with expanding the kingdom through soul winning. Your passion will always move you to your heart desire. If it is your desire to see the kingdom expand, then soul winning will be a major pursuit of your life. The passion for souls is the greatest of all that we can possess and pursue. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it said, "God is not willing that any should what? Perish, but all should come to repentance. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us world, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." In Luke 14, verse 23, he said, "And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and edges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." That my house may be filled is church growth and can be achieved through soul winning. Preaching on the altar is not soul winning. You must go out for soul winning. One day I was meditating, and when things happen, I ask questions. I thought I would tell you here, anytime I come for church growth, I go out for evangelism. And I was sitting there, and Metodogo said to me, "The people that come to church, you make for water call, is not your souls, because people brought them. So you can't count those ones for your own souls. It's the one you go out for, is your own souls. This one, people invited them, so it's accounted for them. So pastor, the one you led to Christ in church is not your souls. It's the souls of those who invited them. So you go out for your own evangelism. Because those ones who came, somebody brought him. So that soul is for the man who brought him. That you made the altar call is not your soul. So it is the one you step on the street and say, Jesus loves you, that is accounted for you as a soul. And many pastors stand behind the pulpit. He said, "Go into the wall and preach." He said, "Go here to stand behind the pulpit." So go into the world and preach the gospel. So lead by example. Go for soul winning, and congregation will follow suit. Jesus engaged fervently in soul winning. Luke 19, verse 10. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." John 4:34. Jesus said to them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." While leaving the earth, he made a statement in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." You don't say, "Go ye therefore and mount the pulpit." The pulpit is secondary. Go and win souls. That's our primary call. But I want to go deeper. Many go for soul winning, but the major challenge is the preservation of souls and follow-up. Many, when we come for meetings like this, we go all out for souls. But you find out that you preach to 500 people, but at the end of the day, you're not able to hold 5 in the church. So the challenge has never been so winning. The real challenge for pastors has been to preserve the souls won. If you see, when time we say go for souls, crowd will come, but the following Sunday, the thing will go down. Because even the congregation don't know how to do full up. They don't know how to preserve the souls. So the real work has always been with full up and preservation of souls. Yes, soul winning is good, but soul preservation is the real work. In John 15 verse 16, he said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you shall go and bring forth fruit." That's soul winning. That your fruit should remain preservation. That your fruit should remain is soul preservation. Every wise farmer considers the act of preservation very vital because it is what enhances productivity, sustains progress, and makes harvest evidential. Soul winning brings them, while preservation makes them to be rooted. It is in soul preservation that a church growth becomes exponential. When souls are preserved, the growth is constant. In 2 John chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." We must pay more attention to visitation and follow up. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 36, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." So soul preservation is the only way our joy can be full. We must intercede for the establishment. In John chapter 17 and verse 9 and verse 12, he said, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." And verse 12, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost." Every soul we win from today shall not be lost in the name of Jesus. So pray for them to abide at a word of unprofitable labor. In soul winning, because you have gone to preach, you have gone to the harvest field, and many have come, but you find that at the end of the day, if that is not done, you end up having very few people remaining in the church. Every time you're in the church, you see attendance that Sunday will shoot. The following Sunday, you see it drop, because emphasis has never been laid on follow up. And when the members begin to follow up those souls, there's steady growth, and I believe that it will be so in the name of Jesus. That amen is too weak. In John 18 and verse 9, he said that the saying might be fulfilled, which you speak of them, which thou givest me, have I lost none. None will be lost. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So we pray to resist Satan from taking advantage of them. We pray for them to also become fruit-bearing Christians. They have come, they too have to bear what? Fruits. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 2. "That thou planted them, yea, they have taken root, they grow, yea, they bring forth fruit." It was one soul that Andrew, who met Peter, in John chapter 1, if you read 41 to 45. "And that one man he brought went and brought another person. Philip went and brought Nathaniel. He found that each one, because they were rooted with Christ, it was easy for them to affect another sheep. When they know each one will go, the church will just multiply automatically. Because once they know that, look, you are being born again, it's not just being born again.